one thing I've learned is that nothing comes to you. Like, you have to go out. Like, again, like my story of going to the gallery and they were doing a snowboard show. I didn't just go in there and like, oh, they're doing a snowboard show. Cool, I do snowboards. I went to the gallery owner and I said, hey, I have some snowboards. Would you want to sell them?
I've always felt immense fear.
I was born with cerebral palsy.
I have always felt small.
Not to take risks.
I may be blind, but I teach people how to see.
And I'm proud to be an individual.
This podcast is for you, the unconventional leader.
Maybe you are the one that everyone discounted.
Maybe you struggle with fear and self-doubt. We are here to empower the next generation of self-starters to step up,
use their voice,
and make an impact in this world.
You're listening to the Weekly Parody.
Hey, welcome to today's episode. If this is your first time listening, my name is Heather Parody. I am your host, and today we are talking about how to turn your art into a business and how to succeed doing that. There are so many creatives who listen to this show. I consider myself a creative too, even though it's not through painting or drawing. You don't want any of that, I promise you. But podcasting is a creative thing. So is writing and problem solving. I mean, if you are a creative person, figuring out how to use your skill set and monetize it, how to sell your work, man, it's a challenge. And it's really hard too, because so much of yourself is put into it. It's your heart and your soul that you're putting into your work, hopefully. And when you struggle growing your brand or your business, selling your work, it can be really discouraging. It can be really, really hard. And Camellia is so kind and just really lays out for us what it took for her to grow her brand and her business. She is an urban contemporary painter, illustrator, character creator, comic book artist. She has galleries and shows and an insane amount of people who just love her work. And I can definitely see why when I got to talk to her. She is just the coolest thing and just gives us some super, super practical tips about tuning into our intuition, being authentic in our work, how to network and connect with your audience outside of social media. So this is just such a good episode. This is actually repurposed from a summit that I hosted last year on how to build an audience, how to grow a tribe. She was one of our speakers, and I wanted to reshare this interview with you guys today on the show. But before we get started, if you have not subscribed to this podcast, all you have to do is look at that mobile app that you're listening to this through, whether it is YouTube or iTunes, Spotify, whatever it is, find that button that says subscribe or follow or like or whatever it is, hit it to make sure that you do not miss another episode. All right, guys, let's get into this incredible interview about how to turn your art into a business.
So, so honored to have Camellia Jerico with us. She is an urban contemporary painter, illustrator, character creator, and comic artist. And she is in Canada. We were just talking about Tim Hortons coffee. I love it. I'm so excited to have you because, guys, I'm going to link up all of her work, her website, but you are an artist who has made it. You have been successful. And that is something to be said because it's not easy. I feel like we have a lot of creators who listen. We have a lot of people who are artists, whether it's paintings and drawings or writing, whatever the creative field is. And I'm so excited to have you with us because you've been able to create an audience, build a tribe of people as a creative. And so I know this is going to help so many of our listeners. So thank you so much for your time.
Oh, no, of course. We were talking about how I just really want to help people. And if there's any information I have or tips that can help people, I'm so excited to have to like impart that, you know, because it is something that's really difficult. The art world it'll eat you alive. And you can feel like artists, we tend to be really self-critical too. And that's something that, you know, we have to get over. And because it's such a hard industry, you can sometimes feel like you're just not making any headway. So, I'm happy to be here to help people, you know.
Tell us a little bit, just before we dive into the questions, about your work. How long have you been a professional artist?
I think it's like 15 or 16 years. I kind of lost track, but I'm pretty sure it's like 16 years now. And then I've been doing comic book work since 1999. professionally. So quite a while. And my career diverged in 2004 when I became a painter. Like, I hadn't actually meant to be a pop surrealist painter. I didn't even know there was a movement happening in the States. I was just painting. I was doing my comic book work and illustrations for different companies, and I'd been doing designs for snowboards, and that kind of launched me into the art world, where there was a gallery in Vancouver that was doing a snowboard show. So I went there with the idea that they would sell my snowboards, because at the time I got comped 8 snowboards. And they're, I lived in a studio apartment. Like, I had no room for them. So I kind of was telling the gallery, can you sell the snowboards? And they said, no, like, we'd love to sell the original art, to which I hadn't actually thought about it. I didn't understand that original art was worth anything. I literally was giving it away for years. And then that art was done on paper and it sold. And then the gallery owner was like, can you do this, what you're doing, but can you do it on canvas and with acrylic paints? And I said, sure, like, I'll give it a shot. You know, I was told in college I wasn't very good at painting, which is hilarious. And I did get a D in color theory. So my bad. So I didn't actually, that's one thing that I want to tell people, is like, you might not know your direction in life until the universe kind of guides you there. So everything for me happened in a sequence of events that I couldn't have predicted, and because I let myself be open to these like experiences and these opportunities, I became a painter, and like, I did paint on canvas, and my show sold out. And then from there, an agent in LA he's a collector, and he just wanted to help me become part of the pop surrealist world in Los Angeles, which, again, I didn't know this was happening. I was just painting anime styled girls for myself. So yeah, from there, my art got shown in galleries and in Los Angeles, and then everything kind of snowballed from there. And I kept allowing myself to be open to these opportunities. And it's hard to split your time into two careers. You know, and I did have several, like, one gallery specifically say, like, if you want to be a painter, you can't be a comic book artist. And I'm a very passionate person and obstinate. I'm really obstinate. So I was like, you can't tell me what to do. I'll prove you wrong.
Yeah, girl.
I was like, how dare you? So I didn't work with that gallery anymore, because I'm like, you know what? I can do what I want. I have one life to live, and I'm going to do it the way that I want to. And it's going to be hard. And yeah, like, having one career would be better, or easier, I should say. But yeah, I kept doing my comic book work and doing my paintings. And from there, everything had its way of making it, you know, my life and my audience grow and build it. And I don't think that I would be where I am today if I didn't have both of those careers, you know?
What an incredible story. Congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you.
That's so incredible.
You have to be who you are, you know, like, you have to make your choices and don't let other people tell you what to do with your life. And we get a lot of critiques, you know, or criticisms, and people telling you what to do. And sometimes you just have to, like, you can listen, but you also have to say, like, no, this is my life. Like, I think I know what I want to do with it, you know?
Amen, girl. This is so good. This is so good.
Oh, God.
One of our listeners sent in this question, and I love this question because I think we've all felt this way, where you hear people say patience, like, you've got to be consistent and patient. And that's so true. And then there's another line where people say, and it's true, that if something isn't working, you need to be willing to shift a little bit.
Yes. So
figuring out, is this a time for me that I need to be patient and stay the course, or is this an indication that I need to shift a little bit? How do you gauge that?
Like, we have intuition, and I think you have to listen to it. I think if you're I always have that saying too, like, don't try to fit a square peg in a round hole. Like, if that's not working, and it's a balance, like, I would normally take about a year to like figure things out and make small adjustments. So having patience is good, but you have to have a plan for whether it's working and whether it works and whether it fails. So you have to set yourself a goal, and you have to say like, okay, this is what I need to do in this year to positively affect my plans. And if it's, you know, and you have to listen to what's going on in the world. So if people are giving you feedback, or, you know, things are going right, work with that and adjust towards that. And if they're going wrong, you definitely have to think what's going on and then shift. And then if, again, like in a year that nothing you're doing is working, then you have to understand that people don't want that, that it's not at the time. Like, for example, you know, my sister was always ahead of the game. Like, she always had this intuition. She would tell me to do things, but at the time I was like, no, it's not right for me. And event, like, by the time I got at the same level as her, because she in the beginning, she actually helped me with my business, and she gave me a lot of information, and like, she was trying to push me in certain directions. I was like, no, I'm not ready for that. But then I just found that I was ready. And by the time I was ready, the world had come, like, had actually done what my sister had said it would do. And I was open to it. Like, I was there. I wasn't early, but I was at the right time. So I think that's kind of what I would say. Like, if you have to have patience, but you also have to, you can't just put something out there and just let it sit. You know, you can't. Like, one thing I've learned is that nothing comes to you. Like, you have to go out. Like, again, like my story of going to the gallery and they were doing a snowboard show. I didn't just go in there and like, oh, they're doing a snowboard show. Cool. I do snowboards. I went to the gallery owner and I said, hey, I have some snowboards. Would you want to sell them? And then from there, everything like happened. And, like, for example, I really love toys and I love sculptures, and I hadn't been successful in getting a company to actually create one. And I kept looking at other artists, seeing these amazing sculpts, and I'm like, oh my God, I want that. So I just emailed, like, AP Portfolio just did a sculpt of my piece Aria. And a year ago, I had seen they did a piece for Hikari Shimoda. And I was like, oh my gosh, I emailed them like, this is amazing. And I just told them, I just said that this is amazing. I would love to work with you guys. And they said, absolutely, let's do something. And, you know, now I have a piece with them. So I did have patience, but I also was like, no, I'm going to make this happen now. You know,
that's it. That initiative. I love that. Another thing someone asked, and this is another great question, is just the kind of a fear of really niching down. And so when you're first starting, like before, you know, when you reach a certain level of success, it's kind of like you can look around and see the natural tribe that is gathering, you know, around you. But when you're first starting off and you don't have a lot of feedback from people and that affirmation, it's scary niching down and niching deep into a certain style or target audience. Mm-hmm. So when you first started, when you were trying to reach this people group, when you were really defining who you were and the kind of work that you wanted to create, did you go really deep or did you kind of go wider and pay attention to what naturally happened?
Well, at the time I was doing things that I wanted to do and I didn't. So like, it's hard to answer that because I think you need to do, like artists and entrepreneurs, you have to do what is in your kind of soul to do. And if you try to try to figure out what people want, and create art based on that, it's never going to work because people are going to know what's real and what isn't. They're going to know if the art is just kind of like ticking off boxes or if it's something, that's really passionate, because I really do believe that there's a piece of you in products and in your art. For example, I was doing, in the beginning of my career, my art career, I was doing big-eyed girls, with animals on their heads, because that's something that I love nature and I love anime and Renaissance painting. So these three things came together, but it wasn't like I saw what other people were doing and I'm like, oh, that's, I need to do that. It was part of who I was and I was putting it out there. And it was really successful, but then I became boxed in. And we're talking about the niche thing. So you also don't want to be boxed into just doing one thing, because artists, we tend to get, we have to be free to create. Mm-hmm. And if you're just phoning it in or having, you have a formula, it doesn't work. There's no passion in it. So in 2012, I was kind of boxed in, and I didn't know that I wanted to still do that kind of art, because in my mind, I had all these other ideas, but I was scared. I was scared of doing it because galleries were telling me what to paint. They're like, you know, this is, the animals are really great. Can do a koala. And I'm like, I don't want to do a koala. Again, the obstinate part in me. I love koalas. I was just like, no, just on principle, right? In 2011, Tara McPherson is an amazing artist, and she asked me to do a show in her gallery in New York, in Brooklyn. And I asked her, I'm like, can I just do whatever I want? She's like, yeah. I'm like, even if it isn't big-eyed girls with animals on their heads, she's like, do what you want. So at that point, I wanted to break out of my own niche, my own box. And I painted a series of girls that had, you didn't even see their eyes. Like, most of them had their eyes closed, and there were no animals. And it was just melting rainbows. And I was terrified that my audience would feel betrayed, that they would feel like, this isn't me. Like, this is like, that they would reject it. But at the same time, I knew that if I didn't do that, then I didn't want to do art if it wasn't what I wanted to do, if it wasn't something that came from me. And like, the response to what I did was unbelievable. You know, like, they loved it more than my animals, more than my big-eyed girls. Like, they responded so deeply. I still, to this day, have people emailing me about this one painting I did with, like, the girl with the hole in her chest, and there's, you know, colors melting out. And this one girl told me a story about how she had something in her life had happened, and this, she saw my painting at the same time that this happened, and it gave her a sense of hope, and it resonated with her. And she's like, I keep this with me because it reminds me to be strong. And if I hadn't, then I do too. Like, actually, my cell phone is that girl. I always keep this, so I remember to do art from the heart, you know? So if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't taken that chance, I probably would still be successful with my girls, with my big-eyed animal girls. But I think a part of me would feel a little like I betrayed myself, like I hadn't tried hard enough to just be myself. Sorry, this is a long answer to your question.
So good.
So I think if you do want to do anything, it really should come from you, and it shouldn't be like what you see other people doing. I think you can take business advice, and I think you should create, like, take notes as to what other people are doing with their social media, with their marketing, their products, and that as a strategy. But as far as like your actual art, I don't think you should. I think that art should definitely come from yourself, because that's something that no one else in this world can reproduce. It's your unique voice, and you're one of, yeah, billions of people, but that's what makes it so amazing. It's that it is, you're the only person that can create that, you know?
I appreciate you so much saying that. I think it's really easy for us to focus so much on tactics, because it's easier than having just to really acknowledge what's really within us and be honest about it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And like, last year I started my B series, and I didn't know people would respond so well to my fuzz butts, these like ridiculously colorful fat bees. Like, I don't know. And I didn't expect it to be so successful. I was just doing it because I love bees and I wanted to donate to Planet Bee and build some hives. But now it's like become this huge part of my artwork. And again, that has nothing to do with super emotional girls with rainbows or animals. It's just like, it's ridiculous. So you never know what is going to strike a chord with your audience or a new audience, you know? So I always encourage people to just try things, you know?
I love that. Yeah. Well, I have one question left for you, but before then, I want to give you a chance to just share where people can connect with you, see your work. We're going to have all of it linked up in the show notes, but where can people go?
So you can go to my website. It's CamilaDirico.com. And then I also have an Etsy shop, the Camila Store, .etsy.com. And then I'm on all social media platforms. And my I love Instagram, so I'm always on Instagram as Camille Dorico. And I'm the verified account because I know that there's a few fan accounts, but I'm the one with the little blue check mark. And then I'm also Helmet Girl on Twitter.
Okay, cool. Awesome. So all that will be linked up. Just thank you so much. You have such a beautiful energy and I love your presence. Even if it's online, I could just feel it radiating. It's just beautiful. So thank you for showing up and giving us this content. But the last thing I wanted to ask you, and this wasn't from our audience, this is from me. Okay. I feel so much discouragement sometimes in people's voices when they talk about their work, and it's, you know, they want to show up, they want to be passionate, they want to give their unique gift to the world. But like we said earlier, when there's not a lot of affirmation coming back and they show up again and again before they've made it, I just want to give you a chance to just share any encouragement or wisdom that you have just to speak into their hearts.
Oh yeah, of course. Like in this day and age, social media seems to be taking over our lives. And we put so much importance on likes and comments and all that. But the truth is that it doesn't actually matter as much as you think it does. Like there are people out there have a small following, but they sell their works for 20,000, 50,000. Like they don't base their success on social media, and neither should you. Like there is, you know, it's great to have a big following. Of course it is, but that doesn't actually translate into sales, and it doesn't translate into like your value, like for your art. That is actually set by the market. It's set by your sales, like your online sales. It's set by galleries, by your licensors, you know? So you have to understand that you can put some, obviously you have to put energy into social media, but that is not your career. Your career is outside of your cell phone. Your career is the art you do. It is the marketing you do. You have to do Google ads. You have to do Etsy ads. You have to do like a whole like paper ads. There's all sorts of things. And you have to actually get out there and hustle, and you have to do your art and step away from social media. Like Instagram, Facebook ads, they don't actually, like now these algorithms, oh, they're brutal. Before the algorithms, this conversation would be completely different. But now that these algorithms, they funnel people, and they like, you know, only 1% of your audience actually sees your posts. So I have 258,000 fans, but I don't get 258,000 likes. I get a small percentage, but I go out and I go to conventions, I go to trade shows, and I see people and I meet people in person. And you need to connect with your audience outside of social media. Again, like don't worry, don't have that validate you. It'll never be enough, like ever. You can have 15 million followers and it still won't ever be enough for you, because you know, you'll see 15 million followers and you'll have like 100,000 likes. Do you know what I mean? Like you can't let that guide it. Yeah. And I mean, like, look at actors, you have them, they have lineups and lineups of people. And then you have like, some actors have like no one on their social media, like none, but it doesn't mean that they're not successful and popular. So yeah, separate your expectations from social and focus on your craft, focus on your platforms that sell, and do that. And then it's so much better.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you have not subscribed yet, please head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and hit that subscribe button. And also, if you have a second, leave us a review. Lastly, we have a private Facebook group. If you are looking for a tribe of like-minded leaders who are unconventional in their approach, but dedicated to making an impact, head over to Facebook and type in Unconventional Leaders, and we will be sure to add you. You guys have a great week.